if we elect President, re-elect President Trump or President Biden, we know what we're gonna get. There's no mystery. We're gonna get more of the same.
Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is going to be on Michigan's ballot this presidential election cycle. Not as a Democrat, nor Republican, nor independent. He'll be on there as a candidate for the Natural Law Party. And according to the New York Times, he was chosen by the Natural Law Party at a convention of two people. Two people put Kennedy on the ballot, set to appear alongside incumbent President Joe Biden and former President Donald Trump.
And do any of you want more of the same? Do you think there's anybody in this country that really wants more of the same? No.
This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Today, we're going to look at what RFK Jr.'s candidacy means for the presidential field and how supporters in Michigan are reacting to his nomination. Over the weekend, Kennedy and his supporters gathered to celebrate his Natural Law Party nomination in Michigan. If you've been following along, you know that Kennedy is running a controversial campaign, not only for his desire to upset the binary choice of Biden or Trump, but also for his history as an anti-vaccination outsider within the Democratic Party. Michigan Public's Tyler Scott went to the Kennedy event in Royal Oak, and he joins us today.
It was pretty much a full house at the Royal Oak Music Theater, but energy wasn't the highest I've ever seen at any event. In fact, some of the comedians who were emceeing did the old thing where you try to pump up the crowd a couple of times, and yeah, it was a Sunday night, you know, but people were there and people were there to see Kennedy.
Yeah. A comedy show for for a campaign event. Let's just pause and marvel with that for a minute. I think I've never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that was a first for me too. I was really interested to see how it played out. The most famous of the comedians was Rob Schneider, who is very political and very publicly out there with his support for Kennedy and, you know, doubting vaccines, which Kennedy has also done. So there's some political allegiance there. But yeah, that was a first for me, too.
So this happened right after Robert Kennedy Jr. gained ballot access. Can you explain a little bit about what the Kennedy campaign had to do to get on the ballot?
Yeah. Okay. So typically, if you were going to be an independent candidate in Michigan, you would have to turn in thousands of signatures, go out in a petition drive similar to what we've seen for constitutional amendments or whatever, and get thousands of signatures from people all across the state of Michigan. By mid-July, he would have to have those signatures submitted. Instead, Kennedy's campaign, called up the Natural Law Party, which is a very minor party, very small in terms of the people who are associated with it here in Michigan. But for this election, they have guaranteed ballot access. So if you could get the Natural Law Party to make you their nominee, boom, you're on the ballot. No petition drive needed. And that's exactly what happened. I talked to the chair of the Natural Law Party, Doug Dern, and he was actually like, yeah, we were sitting back wondering who we were going to nominate, looking for someone to bring some popularity and get some PR for the party because nobody knows who we are, more or less, and actually thought about Kennedy, Dern told me, but didn't know if we could get him. Then his people called us up, and our party's so small, he said a couple text messages later, it was a done deal, bada bing, bada boom. Had a convention Wednesday. Thursday, Kennedy's the nominee.
Tyler, can you tell us a little bit more about what Robert Kennedy Jr. had to say to his supporters in Royal Oak when he talked to them?
Yeah, after the comedians wrapped up, Kennedy came out, got applause right away, and of course, and started out by pitting himself against Biden and Trump, the nominees for the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, and basically accused them both and their parties of benefiting from the political divisiveness we all know too well here in the United States. And he said, for example, they want to hone in on the cultural issues, the culture war divisive issues, which can be important issues, he said, but they're afraid to talk about what he called the existential issues, like the biggest example was the national debt, $34 trillion and counting up. He sort of said, they're not going to talk about it unless you pick a guy like me. he also addressed criticism that his campaign has received. There was a couple protesters dressed in clown costumes outside the Royal Oak Music Theater and outside the hall. And they were pro-Biden supporters, basically saying Kennedy shouldn't run. You hear this criticism that with a third-party candidate in what's expected to be a close election year, you might spoil, quote-unquote, the election by taking votes away from either one of the two major party candidates. Kennedy at first said, listen, there's no one person, be it Trump or Biden, that's strong enough to dismantle American democracy. We're going to be fine. But then, talking about the national debt, he also said, look, these guys aren't talking about the national debt, $34 trillion. If you don't vote for me, we're going to default on our debt. Life's going to be ruined. Everything you're going to own is going to be worth nothing, and life's going to be awful. So it was a little bit of, on the one hand, but on the other hand.
Tyler, did you get a chance to talk to anybody who was there in support of Kennedy about why they think he's their guy?
Yeah, and a couple major themes were the political divisiveness, people like Kennedy blaming Democrats and Republicans and their office holders for benefiting off the political divisiveness, for making fellow Americans the enemy, so to speak, back when Hillary Clinton ran and called Trump supporters deplorables, that kind of thing. The other, which I was kind of surprised to hear, though I don't know if I should have been, was opposition for wars and various military engagements outside of the U.S. Talked to one guy, Josh Kosner. He's from the Lansing area. He says, I agree with Kennedy on absolutely everything, except for Kennedy is on the record supporting Israel and its war against Hamas. But other than that, Kennedy wants to, quote unquote, wind down the war machine, and he likes all that. So did Ron Cash, who was a guy I talked to. Mostly Democratic voter in the past, Ron Cash is. Also, because of the political divisiveness, doesn't trust Republican or Democrat politicians, but does trust Kennedy.
Simply because of how he's willing to go against the grain, you know, by calling out the vaccine mandate madness that went down in this country, the lockdown.
And there's sort of the elephant in the room with Kennedy, which is his vaccine opposition skepticism. He would say he's not anti-vax, but he was anti the COVID vaccine. And if you go back in his public life history, he's been anti other vaccines in different places around the world for different things. So there's that. But his willingness to say the things you're not supposed to say gains him some support amongst a certain group of people.
We need to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about Kennedy's chances as a third-party candidate. Stay with us.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from Kalamazoo College, offering a personalized education that combines critical thinking, curiosity, and creativity. Committed to preparing students for meaningful careers that make a positive impact on the world. More at kzoo.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
For more on Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s candidacy and the mechanisms that paved the way for him in Michigan, we're joined now by Jonathan Hansen. He's a political scientist and lecturer in statistics at the Ford School for Public Policy at the University of Michigan, and a veteran of having worked on several campaigns. Jonathan, welcome to Stateside. It's good to have you.
Thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here.
So we just heard Tyler say that the Natural Law Party's nominating convention was basically a few people in a room together. It was really, really different than the process that the Democratic and Republican parties used to work out their nominations in Michigan. It's kind of dizzying to think that someone with this kind of national name recognition can just pick an existing party with very small apparatus and do a handshake deal? I guess why haven't more candidates decided to try to take advantage of it?
That's a good question. And I will say the campaign has been pretty clever about finding these sort of loopholes or avenues in different states, not only in Michigan, where an existing political party can be on the ballot if they just get, 1% of the vote in a previous statewide election. The Kennedy campaign actually found a similar opening in Hawaii to get on the ballot by, founding a political party and getting a nomination through that party that they created. You know, it's a lot easier to do that than it is to collect thousands of signatures and have them verified. So, I guess kudos for finding those openings.
Let's talk a little bit about Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s candidacy on the face of it. Who do you think benefits the most from his presence on the ballot in Michigan?
That is the $10,000 question. It's very hard to figure out right now, based on polling information, exactly which way that goes. I guess on the face of it, there are certain aspects of his candidacy that might seem threatening for Joe Biden. The Kennedy name, after all, is strongly associated with the Democratic parties. And, Kennedy does have a history as an environmental activist, and so in that sense, might appeal to voters more on the left as well. On the other hand, in his actual campaigning, he's has some similarities in approach, not in necessarily in ideology, but in approach to Donald Trump. He's really attacked, the system, ran as a disruptor. He's also known for his anti-vaccine positions. And so to that sense, doesn't necessarily align very well with voters who might be inclined to support Biden. But in net, if you look at the polling information, it suggests that perhaps Kennedy's inclusion makes either very little difference or might make a point of difference or so in favor of Biden right now, based on a couple of recent polls. But, honestly, the polls have disagreed on this question, and it seems to be different in different states as to which way that may go. I do think it's the overall political environment is very interesting. Obviously, neither of the two major candidates have widespread support. Both of them have unfavorable ratings of more than half of Americans. And just in general, there's not a lot of enthusiasm. So that does create an opening, I think, for a third party candidate, which we have seen at a couple times in our history. With these sort of baseline conditions. And I suppose that foreign affairs could be an issue that is one that appeals to voters who would be interested in a third party candidate. But it's really hard to see exactly how that plays out. Trump is, in terms of the Middle East conflict, Trump is pretty strongly pro-Israel. Biden has been criticized by members of his own party for steering too strongly towards Israel as opposed to the Palestinian position. And Kennedy seems to be in between the two. So it doesn't seem like, in terms of a threat to Biden, that Kennedy would be the one that would change the mix too much.
There are third-party candidates and fourth and fifth and sixth-party candidates every presidential election year. But in living memory, the ones who tend to have gathered the most attention and the most votes include people like Ralph Nader in 2000 and Ross Perot in the election between Bill Clinton and Bush Sr. I feel like our analysis of these things tends to really focus on who they drew out of the head-to-head runoffs between Democratic and Republican candidates. Jonathan, why don't we talk about third-party candidates as other than drags on the two major party contenders?
It all comes down to our political system. The way we elect candidates to office is the plurality rule. So the person who gets the most votes wins. This is in contrast to the way many other democratic political systems elect candidates with, say, a system of proportional representation, where you know you can vote for a party and the percentage of seats that get allocated to that party roughly align with the percentage of people that vote for them. When you have this first past the post system, as we call it, the system tends toward two political parties. And so it's very difficult for smaller parties to get any traction. The way a party sustains itself is by having its candidates get into office and hold those positions for a while. And if you just look at the composition of Congress, you'll see that it's almost completely composed of members from the two major parties, with just a couple of exceptions. And that just indicates how difficult it is for any third party to get traction in our system. And that applies to the presidential process as well. A third party candidate could get a sizable chunk of voters. Let's look back to Ross Perot, who got about 19% of the vote in the 1992 election. But that wasn't close to winning any single state. And even if we look back, it doesn't seem that it would have swung the election in any particular direction by drawing votes away from the incumbent Bush Sr. So, I mean, we just have a system that doesn't make it easy for smaller parties to get traction. And that leaves us with a situation where we're down to the two major choices in general for most elections.
I'm not going to ask you whether RFK Jr. is a serious candidate. I mean, clearly he is going to be on the ballot in Michigan. He absolutely is. Do you think that he does represent something that voters in Michigan have been looking for?
It's hard to reconcile some of the positions that Kennedy has taken with, you know, the reality of what a president needs to do. I think there is a desire on the part of many voters to have an alternative. And I guess perhaps with his name, Kennedy is able to get some traction that some other third-party candidates don't easily get. But some of the positions have clearly taken on aspects of conspiracy theory. And it's not clear to me that most voters have a lot of information yet about how he stands on some issues, just because it's still pretty early in the electoral season.
That's the Stateside podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find full Stateside episodes with politics, news, and a lot more at michiganpublic.org. Today's pod was produced by Laura Weber Davis, our show's executive producer. Other producers on the show are Mike Blank, Ronia Cabansag, April Van Buren, and our director, Mercedes Mejia. Our intern is Olivia Meradian. Our podcast editor is Rachel Ishikawa. Music for the pod comes from Blue Dot Sessions and from Audio Network. Thank you so much for listening. We're back in your feeds tomorrow. Till then, bye-bye.